You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
What a warm welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of our ACF communities who are joining us here tonight. I would like to talk to you. I'm going to be the final of the four things we're passionate about at Austin Christian Fellowship. But before we get started, will you please raise your hand if you would like a Bible? And our guest services teams at all of our ACF communities are ready to give you a Bible. While that's going on, I'm going to recap. I'm going to back up a little bit about where we've been in this fantastic series. It's been a great foundational series that really lets you know who we are as a church. So if you're new here, it's a cultural lesson for who we are as a body of believers. The first sermon we talked about, we heard from Will Davis Jr., our founding and senior pastor, and he taught us about Jesus. Of course, Jesus has to be the first, heads and shoulders above all. The second thing we talked about was seekers. Jesus is passionate about seekers, and so are we. As a matter of fact, our mission statement says we're here to enable seekers of purpose, meaning, and truth to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. This one was really important to me as I entered into this congregation as a seeker in 2003. And through relationships and discipleship here, through plugging in with women's ministry, I became a Christ follower. So my very first sermon here, Will Davis said, "Do not check your brain at the door if you're a seeker." I took him at his word. I did that. And here I am, a Christ follower. It's been an amazing transition in my life. Third, we heard from Daryl Holden, our associate pastor here at Four Points, and he talked about how we are passionate, sacrificial givers. He used the word sacrifice, which he used the quote from Craig Groeschel that says, to sacrifice means to give what we love up for something we love more. And as givers, we take our tithes and offerings at Austin Christian Fellowship, and we use as much of them as we can to extend ministry in our city, our nation, around the world. But the sacrifice part is that sometimes we don't have the best facilities. As a matter of fact, our communities meet in schools and YMCAs, and they have teams of volunteers that dedicate their time to coming and setting up church and breaking it down. So that's the sacrificial giving, is that we do go without some things because we love giving ministry away more. So as you've turned to your Bible, you've gotten your Bibles, I ask that you turn to Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. And as you get there, just to set the table a little bit, this letter was written by Paul as he sat under Roman house arrest. He would write these letters often to kind of iron out problems in doctrine that was cropping up in the different churches that he and his disciples had planted. This instead is written as a general letter. It traveled around the area surrounding Ephesus. It was almost like, in our modern terms, you would call it a best practices letter. And as you travel through the book of Ephesians, you will see some beautiful things. You will see Paul just lay out the beautiful Christian gospel. By the time he gets to chapter 5, he thinks you're all in. He thinks you're a believer. He's talking about the new life in love. In my Bible, that's what those scriptures are titled, the new life in love. So as we join Paul, he says to us, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice. There's that word again. This means Jesus loved us more than himself. This means God loved us more than his son. That's the sacrifice here. And it also tells that we're supposed to imitate God in that level of sacrifice. We are to be imitators of God. That word imitate's really interesting. It literally means mimic. It means following a master so closely, you're mimicking their thoughts, their actions. This played out in my own family. My one beautiful Easter Sunday, my husband woke up just sick. My sweet husband John was flat on his back, couldn't join in the family's Easter Sunday. But he said, take the boys and go. Go, let them celebrate. Blessed is the day the Lord hath made. Let them go and experience the Resurrection Sunday. So I was like, okay. Well, my boys and I, my oldest was 18 at the time. My younger one was 15. We'd been together as a family doing just the three of us sort of things many, many, many times. But there was something different this day. And the difference was our dad wasn't there. This was intended to be a family day celebrating a great and mighty thing. But he was absent. So what happened is my older son stepped into this crazy role of shepherd. I'd never seen anything like it. He's 18 years old, and he's opening my door. He's ushering the family into our seats at church. He's the one at the restaurant giving the name of our party and the number in it. He's making sure I have my artificial sweetener packet. He's buckling his brother up when we decide to go kayaking on Lady Bird Lake. He became this beautiful shepherd in our family. John was too sick that morning to give him these types of instructions, I can assure you. He got that from following his father so closely all the days of his life. That when dad was not with our family, he knew immediately how to step into that role. He knew how to love his brother and me well. That's what we're talking about here. Following God so closely that we understand his heart and his love that pours out of him, and that we can show the same love to others. So what we're going to talk about today is how missions at ACF mirrors that. Our first line in missions is to love others well. We're going to talk about that specifically in terms of our city. Now, when I talk about Austin and that we're passionate about serving our city and we're passionate about Austin, Texas, hear me say, I don't mean the Austin city limits. I am talking about what is called the Greater Austin Round Rock Metropolitan Area. It is made up of 5 counties. It includes Caldwell, Bastrop, Hays, Travis, and Williamson County. And all of our ACF community of churches dwells inside of it. You might even say that is our local mission field. So when you hear me say Austin, please know I'm talking about a greater area than just Austin. And if you're joining us on video, please use some of this teaching to impact your own city. So as we travel on, you know, you might not have heard this kind of talk around missions. You might have heard great strategy talk and different things like that, but let me tell you where I learned this lesson. I learned it hard, and I learned it pretty fast. Not in Austin, Texas. I learned it halfway around the world in Jinja, Uganda. I've had to go 2 days out of my neighborhood to get there. And so what happened was this. I had come into my role in 2011 as local missions leader. I came from a background. My husband and I lived in the Washington, D.C. area for a while, and I worked for a major national trade association. My job was member relations. My job was to take our corporate members and plug them into our very large association. So when I came in as the local missions leader, I understood how to plug volunteers into things. But about a year later, I traveled halfway around the world, 2 days, and I ended up on a blanket under a tree in a remote village in Uganda. And I was sitting with this woman who was the English teacher in the school, and she was just delighting in having an English as a primary language speaker to practice with. And so we did this fun thing. We started talking, and the best way that we could connect was talking about our daily lives. We were both moms. We both were wives. We both worked outside of our home while maintaining a home. We had a lot of things in common, but really what ended up happening is this crazy Venn diagram, if you can imagine, how we're different, how we're similar. And we were having great fun. I thought it was all lighthearted. But then she stopped. She got very serious. She held my hands And she said, and I'm not being disrespectful, she had the most beautiful accent, "Oh, sister, I am so, so sorry for you and your people." And I was like, well, we've lost something in translation, because all I have done is, you know, give her kind of a snapshot of what I think is a typical suburban life. My husband and I both work outside of the home. We both work together to raise our children. We both work together to care for our house. Why is she sorry? So I sought clarification, and I said, well, can you unpack that? What do you mean? And she said, well, my people, are very poor in things, but we're rich in love. She did this with her hands. And she said, your people are very rich in things, but love, you're very poor. I thought, well, there's the word. That's where we got lost. We clearly look at love differently. So I urged her on, and she went on to tell me about, in her school, in her community, they are so closely intertwined. They are working so closely together that a student can come into her classroom and she knows immediately what those needs are for that student. She knows that student, she knows their family, she knows their history, she's on it. But she said, how do you do that in this great big community with all of these people? How do you know your city well enough to love them well, to walk in love with them? And how do you know your church body well enough to walk with them and love with them and know what's right for them? Friends, nobody was with us when we had this conversation. But I'm telling you, there was a difference in the lighthearted banter we had and this. And I really felt like it was something much bigger than the two of us having that conversation. And it impacted me so deeply. And it changed everything for me in how I see the city of Austin, how I see our role in the city of Austin, and how we need to walk in love to be able to meet those needs. So I came back and I dug in and learned my city differently. Now there is this city in Austin, there is this Austin that I call the Chamber of Commerce version of Austin. It's what's fun about Austin, right? And our graphics design person gave us this fun slide that shows us what is kind of the Chamber of Commerce version of Austin. If you look at some of the statistics, there's one that I would have added, but I thought better of it. But my Uber driver is convinced it is the number one place for bachelorette parties. I don't know if that's true, and I don't have the data. But there it is. It's a fantastic place to live, and we all get to live here. We all get to work here, and we all get to be in community here. And I love it so much. But Jesus promises us in the Bible, in the Gospels, there will always be poor among us. So even though we have the great blessing of living in this fantastic place, there's another side of Austin. And I'm not talking geography. I'm not talking about a neighborhood. I'm talking about there's more happening in Austin than meets that eye. We have, as I began to work with ministry partners, I began to see the other side of Austin. And there are many patterns and systemic problems that start popping up as you dig in. And one of the things that popped up, and I use it as this example. I could go on and on about it, but I'm going to spare you that. I use this example because it's the first one to emerge for me. It was through those conversations and those relationships, getting to know our ministry partners in Austin and the nonprofits and asking them hard questions. And this pattern emerged. And it happened. One of our executive directors of one of our pregnancy resource centers was having a conversation with Julie Corey, who leads Fostering Hope Austin, and she works in the foster care realm. And they fell into a conversation of, how can we fight to save this life without fighting for the family around this life? Because if we're not fighting for the whole family system, then how do we keep that child from ending up in our foster care system? And if we're not fighting for that entire foster care system, how do we keep that child from bouncing around in it and aging out? And then, friends, the statistics, the vulnerability for someone who bounces around all those times and ages out of the foster care system, the vulnerability is so great. It's staggering when you look into. And so that's why I listed these other things, these other side of Austin and these different issues. We have impoverished children. Then that often leads to abortion. And if it doesn't, it could lead to foster care. And then those children get very vulnerable to falling into offenders, becoming offenders, a life of crime. There's poverty around this. It's so great. They also become victims of human trafficking. They have a high vulnerability. And these are not certainties. These are vulnerabilities. Let me be clear. But there's a beautiful part of this. Here's the hope. I call them the champions of the other side of Austin. We get to partner as a church family with some amazing nonprofits. They invite us into their mission field. They want workers to the harvest. They give us a front line to being able to love people well right where they are. Now, there's too many to list here, so please know I've just used ones that I think that are going to be pretty familiar to you. But they have opened their doors wide and invited us in, which is a great honor and a great blessing. So this is fantastic, right? Okay, we know some of the issues. There are many more, but we know some. And we know that there are people on the front lines that we can engage with to do God's work, to walk in love in our city. But how do we get started there? What do we do first? My recommendation is we get started by praying. You cannot invite yourself in to someone's life or to a mission field without prayer. Jesus prayed for us. In John chapter 17, verse 17 through 22, he says, "Sanctify them in truth." The "them" in that line is the disciples. "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. You sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sacrificed in truth. I do not ask for these only," here we come into the story, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word. They may all be one, just as you, Father, in me, and I am in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus was praying for our sanctification. He was praying for us as we go out to make disciples in the nations. We have his cover. We need to cover each other and ourselves as we begin this journey. Next, I would say, my encouragement would be to learn. That's a fun one. Even God wants us to learn first before we enter into the field of justice. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause." But his first step for us is to learn. Where do we start learning? I would offer that you would learn about yourself. You would do the work. You would do the self-examination to figure that out. I recommend a spiritual gifts test. That's where I got started. I did a spiritual gifts test. I took a few of them because, like a lot of online tests, you might get a different answer. But don't give up. It took me about 6 weeks, and then one emerged very strong. And I talked to my spiritual mentor about it, and she goes, "Oh, yeah, that's you." And then now I've noticed as I travel through the mission field, it comes out of me just so naturally. So I would say, do that work and investigate that. The next I would say is contact your community pastor so you can help learn about your community. Community pastors at Austin Christian Fellowship are sent out as missionaries. They know their communities better than anyone else. They can give you the heartbeat of the community that they are serving in every single day. Here at Four Points, I would say contact Daryl Holden and ask him what he knows. Or contact missions. The local mission serving team, just so you know, is made up of myself and the incredible Chris Landry. Her information is going to be on the screen. If you don't know Chris Landry, please know Chris Landry. She's fantastic. And her job title is local volunteer coordinator. She's so perfectly wired to do this, to help you walk through your self-discovery, but also where your gifts and skills are best utilized. The other thing that we're going to be rolling out in the next 6 weeks or so is a volunteer role, and it's called Missions Advocate. We are going to be training missions-minded people to know all about missions at Austin Christian Fellowship so they can serve as your own community expert in what we're doing. I highly recommend that you keep an eye out for them. They'll be on your patio. They'll be in your school, your YMCA. They will have a banner. You won't be able to miss them. I would also say as you learn, have your mindset that you're going to do this thing. Don't give up. One of my dearest friends has been working with her Bible study small group, and they have tried everything to be able to get engaged over 5 years. And they hadn't found it, but they kept going. They dug in, they did it. And now they found their thing and the joy that has come out of their serving, not just in themselves, but in the people that they serve. You could see the fruit of their obedience and not giving up. Next, I would say invite. Invite others in. Invite yourself in. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I see that you do this thing. Can I come along? Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. He never sent anyone alone. And that, of course, is a great multiplication strategy for discipleship, right? We're all going to go out. We're going to make disciples. They're going to make disciples. And that's why we're here, is because of that strategy. But there's more to it. When you're sending light out into dark places, you're doing powerful work, and you'll get pushback. You need to take someone along. You need to be prayed up, and you need to be with other Christ followers. Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God does not exist in talk, but in power." I have a quote from Frank Viola from a book, Resurgence, Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom. And I think he describes this beautifully, the power of Christians going out in God's name and serving together. It must be understood that there's a profound difference between the humanitarian aid and philanthropic good deeds that the world engages in and the good works talked about in the New Testament. While it may appear the same to the naked eye, to the invisible realms of God, it's significantly different. The good works that the New Testament refers to are always done in the name or presence of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where it gets good. And the motivation and source of each good work is Christ himself. We are going in the name of Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit into what could be dark places. And friends, based on what I've seen in doing this and what others of you have seen doing this, it's time to brace yourself to get to witness some front row kingdom business when you go with all of that power out into our city. My final encouragement is to embrace others in walking in love for them. Maybe you get to a place where it's not us and them, but it's us. Embrace it. It's not hard. It's not social work. I'm not calling you to come and solve every problem in the city with me. I'm simply calling you to come love our brothers and sisters in need. At Lakeside Apartments, we've been going there. It's been such a glorious thing. We've been going there for over 10 years, way before I joined my position. And it was a time of the staff would go in and clean these apartments because the people who live in Lakeside Apartments, it's government housing. And the people who live there are either disabled or elderly. So if someone had an injury, they couldn't take care of their house. It's not an assisted care facility. It's just an apartment building. So the ACF staff would go, and they would clean these apartments out. Well, then it grew into Christmas, and we would dress up like Santa and do kind of fun Christmas activities. And then it grew into Wednesday bingo and breakfast, and we just spent time with them. We just went to encourage them and spend time with them. Well, then during one of these events, one of the residents said something to one of our pastors, and it was Tom Fulmer. And Tom Fulmer was with his wife Celia. They were working to build their church at ACF Northwest. And a resident urged them, "We need church. Can you come and do church?" And Tom and Celia came up to me and said, "They need church. Let's do this." And before you know it, ACF Northwest is having church there once a month. Well, that church got planted, and the Fulmers needed to move on and care and tend to their church, ACF Northwest. And then another ACF church was forming, and so they took it over at Tom's invitation. Well, then that church got launched, and then the next thing you know, here's Chris Tapkin at ACF Lake Travis, and he says, "Sure, we'll start doing that." Well, one of their couples, a volunteer couple, was just utterly impacted by that experience. Joni and Kevin Kendrick now don't just serve church up to the residents of Lakeside once a month, but we just expanded to 2 weekends a month. And their congregation is growing. It's vibrant. They pray together. They worship together. They get teaching and fellowship together. And the community there, according to the resident manager, she told me, it's transforming this government housing project that was before so hopeless, but now there's light. So the things you can do just in love, Joni and Kevin don't solve their problems. Joni and Kevin pray for them. Joni and Kevin bear their burdens with them. They don't solve it. Another beautiful example of we're just asking you to love is our friends at Community First. I have been greatly blessed to get to know a woman named Amber Fogarty. And she is the president and chief goodness officer at Mobilize and Fishes. And I don't say that to drop a name. I just say that because I love her title. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a chief goodness officer? So Amber and I were connecting and having lunch at the community grill out at the Community First Village. And that is one of their micro enterprises. And it has fantastic food. So we were sitting out there having a great time catching up when all of a sudden a neighbor popped up. And that's what they call the residents. They call them the neighbors. And in 50 breathless minutes, this woman described her life. And friends, she looked very much like the other side of Austin. She had grown up abused as a child. She finally ran away, ended up on the streets. She became a drug and alcohol addicted. And then she ended up chronically homeless. She met Alan and Tricia Graham. They are the visionaries and founders of Community First Village. And they had been working with the homeless in Austin for over 20 years. When Alan realized, we need to give them community, not just houses. So in their time getting to know this neighbor, they prayed for her. They showed her Jesus. And they led her to Jesus. And they invited her in to live at the village. So she was preparing a glorious meal for them. It was a feast to say thank you. Well, as quickly as she came upon us, she was gone because she had to go stir something. And Amber and I went up to Amber's office, and we were continuing our catch-up. And a few minutes later, here came Alan and his dog, and they hung out with us and were talking. In a heartbeat, here was that neighbor. She was unbelievably angry. I've not ever seen rage quite like this. She wanted justice. She wanted it now. And she was pointing at Alan Graham's face, leaning into him. Gone were her words of gratitude. She was angry. Well, it turns out she'd asked a resident care advisor at Community First if he could help her take her food up to the room where they were serving. And he said, "I can't." And he zoomed by. Well, in the meantime of her transporting the trays, the final tray was stolen, and it happened to have all of the meat for the feast. So she wanted that resident care advisor fired on the spot. She wanted the culprit to be apprehended and kicked out of the village. Whoever stole that food needed to go. This is what Alan Graham, how he handled it. Like, you hear flight, fright, freeze. It turns out I freeze because I was frozen. The dog was frozen and under the desk. And Alan was completely calm. He held his arms out. He called her softly by name. And he embraced her in the most beautiful bear hug. He pulled her back, looked her in her eyes, and he said, "Thank you." And she goes, "Well, I didn't get to feed you today." And he said, "You've given me a bigger gift. You have shown me that my neighbor loves me." And they walked out quietly together, and she was fine. Turns out, just to end the story tightly for you, the food hadn't been stolen. The resident care advisor went to drop off the medication that was needed at another resident, and zoomed back, got the food, and they had just missed each other on the stairwell. But this neighbor got to learn such a beautiful lesson that day. She is loved by a high and mighty God that cares about every hair on her head, even getting that lunch taken to perfection. And she knows that she showed the love of Jesus to Alan Graham, and he received it. What a beautiful lesson. Amber told me after they left, it happens 2 or 3 times a day there that these people come from very hard places. You don't end up chronically homeless unless you've had a hard road. And that the first step of loving them is hearing them, hearing their stories, and showing them repeatedly the love of Christ. Our mission field is first and foremost a mission field of Christ's love. So I'd like to leave you with a few questions for reflection. And I say they're for all of us because none of us are done. None of us can be cooked in this area because it's an everyday decision. It's an everyday decision how we're going to sacrifice our time and talent for others in the name of Jesus. It's an everyday decision. First, I would say, what's your next step in walking in love? So many of our congregation serve so amazingly well already. But we can all look and evaluate, what's our next step? Our next question would be, what obstacle do we identify? What do we need to do to break that down? What's challenging about walking in love? My next encouragement is, don't forget to invite. Invite others in, or invite yourself in. ACF Northwest, you're having Pillow Elementary Aquapalooza in 2 weeks. Who can we invite? ACF Hutto, who do you need to invite to the Hutto Resource Center or to that Bible study at the Pflugerville Pregnancy Resource Center? ACF Brushy Creek, who do you need to take to Reveal Ministries to load up food on Mondays? ACF Lake Travis, how about Church Under the Bridge? Who needs to help you barbecue all that meat that you barbecue? ACF Four Points, who do you need to invite to Partners in Hope or to join a Bible study at Texas Reach Out? Or partner with Heart of Texas Pregnancy Resource Center, maybe use your artistic talents to fluff up their baby boutique and love those mothers that way. We have so many opportunities. Who can we invite? Or who can we invite ourselves along to travel with them down these roads? If you would give me the pleasure, I would love to pray over you to end our time together. It's a prayer that was written by my friends at Mobile Loaves and Fishes. So if you would just kindly bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you're comfortable, open your palms to receive this. God of the poor and afflicted, soften the hard edges of our heart that we might see your image in the eyes of those who are outcasts in our world. Open us to embrace those who are hungry and abandoned. Soften us to understand the angry and the desperate. Enliven us to offer our gifts and treasures to the stranger and alien. Empower us with compassion toward the imprisoned and forgotten, and flesh our hearts with the loving heart of Jesus. Jesus, who lived among us to point the way to your reign of justice and dignity. Amen.